We are so excited to be in worship together. Thank you for coming this morning. We'd like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, on the inside aisle of every pew, we invite members and guests to fill out the pew pad. We ask that first person to send it, write your name down, give us the information, and check the appropriate boxes, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. We do ask, once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be extra helpful for us. We do ask, once it gets back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Just got word, we got a big day tomorrow. Mr. Roy Johnson is 90 years old tomorrow. And many family is here, and we're excited about that and that celebration. We welcome you to worship today. It's also Mary's birthday tomorrow as well. I'm not going to say how old. I'm not saying how old. That is, I've been married for 15 years. I know what to say and what not to say. Well, I still. So, anyway, let's see. Other announcements I'd like to make. Several things you'll see listed there in your bulletin. Our Wednesday night suppers starts a new theme this Wednesday. Eat more chicken. So we think the Chick-fil-A cow is going to be here. We want y'all to be a part of that this Wednesday. Other things are listed there. An important meeting for youth and parents this week at 7:30. Bus station for the youth this week. Operation Christmas Child is going on. We're collecting items that our youth and children will box up a week from this Wednesday. There are boxes outside of Smith Hall as you come into the church. Several things that we need to put into those boxes, and looking for donations for those as well. Let's see. Other things are listed there. Opportunities for the week. I have a couple people we want to recognize. Mary.
Just a reminder that our Thursday session of the book club will meet this Thursday, and our book for the month of November is Behind the Veils of Yemen. And if you would like a copy of that, let me know, and I will be placing that order in the next few days.
Just to announce, I'm not the Chick-fil-A cow on Wednesday, so just make sure you know that. It's so good to be here today, and we recognize so many good events here or situations in the U.S. and our community. You know, this month has been breast cancer awareness, which all of us have been touched by someone that's had that dreaded disease. But today is a special recognition, Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And I want to ask, I couldn't do it in the first service because it was too dangerous maneuvering on the stage in the recreation service. I'm going to ask Raymond if he'll come up. Is Jason here today? Jason's not here. All right, I'll just keep Jason's. All right. Here's Jeff, Mary. Charles Edwards, if you'll please come up. And you can't tell us about your golf swing unless it's good right now. But we're so blessed here at College Park to have such a strong staff that loves us and cares for us and leads us in the direction we need to take. And today what I've done is just a small gift to thank them for all they do for us. And it wouldn't be Baptist if we didn't give them a round of applause for all they do.
Thank you, Larry. On behalf of the staff, we feel, I believe, even more blessed to be a part of this congregation. So thank you for all those kind words and all the, it's a good time to be at College Park. Several other announcements, like I said, are listed there. Many things that are happening in the life of our church. Just a reminder about those things, to look at your bulletin for opportunities for the week and upcoming events. We're especially blessed by the presence of our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, we'd like for you to just raise your hand right where you are. Our guests will recognize, our ushers will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet of information, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation, as well as the newsletter that tells you a little bit about what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of our worship today. Before we continue in worship, we'll recognize Jim Purnell. Come on down, Jim.
Next week, we will be electing deacons to serve for 3 years, and we'll be having six new deacons. We have eight candidates for deacons, and I'd like to recognize those that are here right now. So when I call your name, if you would stand up and turn around so the folks can see you, I would appreciate it. Neural Godwin. Irv Grogan. Becky Haney. Virgil Jessup, Charlie Jones is out of town this weekend. Chris Morris is also out of town. They're taking advantage of that long weekend with kids out of school. Molly Rawls, Doug Summers. I want each of you to take a look at these folks and read the insert that's in your bulletin about their service, their biographical information. Again, next Sunday we will be voting for six of these folks to serve as deacons. I want you to prayerfully consider your vote. This is a tough, demanding job, let me tell you, and they're going to have to do it for 3 years. So think about it, and folks, we thank you for accepting the nomination. Thank you.
Would join me as we pray together the prayer that's written in the order of worship. Let's go to our God together. Almighty and loving God, we thank and bless you for the encouragement you have given us through teachers and mentors and witnesses of your love. We pray that as we worship today, you will use our words and our actions to encourage others. May this worship service truly enable us to sense our communion with all the people of God in every time and place. To the glory and praise of you alone, through Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For the last several years, we recognize All Saints Day. And for those of you that know the calendar, you know that today is technically not All Saints Day. Technically, All Saints Day is November the 1st. But we try to recognize the saints that have gone before us on the Sunday or the Wednesday night closest to All Saints Day preceding. In other words, not after the fact, but before the fact. So that puts us just a couple days away from All Saints Day proper. But this morning we want to remember those of our body, those of our church members that have gone on to be with the Father. And you will see a list of these printed in the order of service. I want to say one word. I know that I've had a couple questions already this morning about certain people, whether they should have been on the list. And what I can tell you is that we take this from last year, the day that we had All Saints Day last year, through today. So if they passed away in October of last year, they would have been recognized in last year's service. So I certainly want to apologize in advance if we omitted anyone, but usually that's the situation. If you'll think back, that they usually just before the date last year. But we want to recognize these that have gone on to be with the Father during the course of this year. And the way I would like to do that is, as I read the names, if you are a family member of one of the ones who has gone before, as I read their name, if you would stand and stand for just a moment so our people can see you and recognize you. I think this is in a spirit of prayer, because we need to be praying for the families. Certainly the ones who are listed here, they're doing great. They're having a great day. It's the families that are left behind that sometimes need the encouragement and the love and support from the body of Christ. So let's begin now. Again, if you are a family member, when I read their name, if you would stand for just a moment. Bob Barnett. Nadine Bradley. Lorraine Falwell. Eleanor Harwood, Vernon Howard, Annie Laurie Morgan, Mary Parker, Mary Satterfield, Walter Schultz, Bruce Shannon, Mildred Smitherman, John Snodgrass, Russell Vestal, James Walker, and Hugh Wells. Thank you. Let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Father, it's somewhat bittersweet on a day like today, because as we've already said, those who have gone before us are in your care, and they've been made whole, they've been made pain-free. And Father, so we rejoice with the gift of eternal life that you give us through Christ. But we are left here, and a lot of those firsts that have been experienced this year, the first birthday with Adam, the first anniversary, the first Christmas, the first, all the things that we've celebrated, those times are a little more difficult, because those are times when we want our family around us, and to be missing a family member, it hurts just a little bit. And we pray that you would be with the families of those who have lost loved ones, as we know that you are. We pray that we, as the body of Christ, would surround those who are hurting and those who need a little bit of extra encouragement, and that we would be faithful to the task, that it would be a joyful task in the sense of loving and encouraging a fellow believer. God, we thank you again for the gift that you give us of the body, of being together and having one another to lean upon. Father, we thank you most for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life and eternal hope. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. It's interesting that the lectionary text for All Saints Day is Matthew chapter 5. And I'll expound on that in just a few minutes, but it is. The lectionary text for this day is the Beatitudes, as we commonly know them. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And I invite you to take your Bible and read with me. If you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. There should be one there in the pew, on the back of the pew in front of you. So certainly you're invited to take that and join with us. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 12. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat there. And his disciples came to him. And he being Jesus, of course, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We are observing All Saints Day. And perhaps one of the first questions that we get about All Saints Day is, so what qualifies you as a saint? Do you have to die before you qualify as a saint? And there are a number of ways that we could define saint. The simplest and perhaps the earliest definition of saint is found in the New Testament. If you'll remember, as Paul began his letters, typically he began his letters to the saints in so-and-so, to the saints at Corinth, to the saints in Ephesus, the saints in Galatia, and then he would go on with the letter. So in the New Testament, saint simply means any believer, any Christian. Those are the saints. The word that's translated saints is a Greek word which means holy. Okay, so you're sitting there going, wow, okay, I'm not sure I measure up. Well, the saints are the holy ones, but not holy because of anything intrinsic to them, but holy instead because of the holy presence of Christ within them. Does that give you comfort? Does that mean you may qualify? All right, it's not in and of ourselves holiness, but it is holy because of the presence of Christ within us. And let me say right up front, the word saint, if you go looking for it in the Bible, the word saint in the singular is not in the biblical text anywhere. You can check me on it, but it's not in the text anywhere. And you may say, oh, wait a minute, preacher, I got you. Right here it says, the gospel according to Saint Matthew. Right at the beginning of the New Testament. Well, that's technically, I hate to burst your bubble, but that's not a part of the biblical text. That's a title that was added to designate the letter. So it's not, the word saint in the singular is nowhere in the biblical text. Now, what does that tell us? Come on, choir, help me out. Come alive. They're shrugging their shoulders. What that tells me is we are made for community. We are not a saint. We are the saints. Does that make sense? When Christ left, he said, I'm going to send you the Spirit. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is coming to unify you, to empower you for the work that God has for you. And so as a body of believers, we are the saints. Each of us bringing our gifts, each of us bringing our talents to be a part of the body. It's not singular, it's plural. We are the saints. There's a second definition, or second designation, if you will, for the word saint, and that is one to use to denote some of the heroes or heroines of the Christian faith. And that's where you get into that gospel according to St. Mark, St. Matthew, St. Luke, those type of things. You have St. Peter, St. Francis, St. Mary Magdalene, St. Clara, and all of these, you know, they're designated by the early church, and they continue even in some circles today. And that's fine. That's just a different designation of the word saint. And for a long time, I was, as I mentioned earlier, I was a little bit puzzled why the Beatitudes were always the lectionary reading for All Saints Day. But it kind of makes sense. Because as you think about definitions of saints, Jesus is kind of laying it out there. If you read the Beatitudes, that's a pretty good definition of what a saint should be. Right? So as he's going through those, I thought we could go through every single one of them and it'd be a 3-hour sermon. I'm not going to do that. Thankfully, you're saying, hey, yes. but I'm going to take a few of them. I'm going to take 4 of them. First of all, in verse 3, look at this one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, you can talk about poor in spirit or poor in terms of a spiritual sense, but I think that the overall, the gist of this verse is, you know, as a society, we are obsessed with wealth. We are obsessed with money, financial success, and the power that it brings to our spirit, if you will, okay? The accumulation of stuff. And for Jesus, wealth was not a sin, but if you depend on your wealth, if you depend on the power that comes from wealth to give you your sense of self-worth or your sense of stability and control, if you depend on those instead of upon God, that's where he said that's where the problem comes. So for the wealthy person, Jesus warned, you know, they're likely to have his or her priorities in the wrong place because they are dependent upon the wrong things. And the saints, he would argue, are those persons who have their hearts fixed upon God's kingdom. Not earthly riches, not earthly pride, not earthly power, but God's kingdom. And so the saints don't determine their own worth or the worth of anybody else based upon financial or powerful influences. Make sense? Okay. Moving on, the second one, in verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This one's kind of tricky because we live in a world where feelings in particular, the depression and if a person is upset, you know, we don't talk about that in public. For whatever reason, sometimes we don't talk about that. People come into church, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. My heart's breaking. I'm ready to jump off the edge, but I'm fine. And people don't want to talk about it. Maybe it's because they think, well, I don't want to be a downer, or, you know, maybe they really don't, if I say it, they really won't care, and then that will be an awkward moment. I'm not sure all the reasons, but I know, interestingly enough, and men especially, I think our culture says, be the strong one. You've got to be the strong one. Don't let your feelings get the best of you. You know, and so we teach this stuff, and ironically enough, we say, okay, you really shouldn't be that open with your feelings. But the irony of that is we live in a culture that's all about feeling good. So it's all about feelings, but yet we don't want to show our feelings. Do you catch the irony there? You know, the saying in the 60s, if it feels good, do it, I think is one of the stupidest slogans I've ever heard in my life, with a possible exception of the one I'll mention in just a few minutes. But I mean, this whole thing of feel-good culture, it's all about feelings and feeling good. Drink this particular brand of coffee, you'll feel better. You know, eat this particular kind of burger, you'll feel bloated. No, they say you'll feel good. you'll feel good. It's all about feelings, feeling good and being happy. You know, and we end our fairy tales with, and they lived. How many times that really happened? Granted, we know the end of the story. We know the end of the story. We know that we're going to be with the saints. We know that in the end, in eternity, we will live happily ever after. But while we're here on earth, there's a lot of stuff that we have to deal with. And feelings are kind of wrapped up in that. You know, what if the ability to feel deep sadness is a prerequisite for feeling great joy? I believe Jesus is trying to help us understand the saints are complete persons who feel the full range of human emotions and express it appropriately. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, saints are those who rejoice. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. The full range. Third is in verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I mentioned strange slogans, and second only to the one I'm getting ready to mention. But back in the 80s, there was a line of clothing that came out, and it was called Big Dogs. You remember that? Cute little St. Bernard. Cute little St. Bernard. It was called Big Dogs. And one of the bumper stickers they had, and t-shirts, and choir, I do have a t-shirt, I think, down in that box in the basement of 500 youth ministry t-shirts. I think I've got one that says, and you know the slogan, if you can't run with the big dogs, stay on the porch. Evidently, choir's the only one that knows it. If you can't run with the big dogs, stay on the porch. That was the message that was being thrown out there by this line of clothing. And see, as a culture, we exalt the big dogs, don't we? We exalt the hot shots, the powerful people. Assertiveness, even aggressiveness, is highly valued. But what if the race is not to the swift? What if the race is, or the contest is not to the strong? What if the truly great in this world are not the Donald Trumps of the world, but the Mother Teresa's? The saints are those who choose service above self-aggrandizement. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. I think that is the example that Jesus gave us, and I think that's what he teaches us. The fourth qualifier, or the fourth indicator from the passage today, is that the saints are those who long for righteousness. Verse 6 said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Now, Jesus was a Jew, and to a Jew, righteousness meant something very specific. Righteousness was literally to do right by. Makes sense, right? To do right by. Especially to do right by the poor and the hungry, the widows and the orphans. So as Jesus is saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, he's literally saying, blessed are those who long for the hungry to be fed and the homeless to be housed. For in the end, they will not be disappointed. Out of Jesus' claims, this is one of the most extraordinary. You know, righteousness is not at home in our world. Let that sink in. Righteousness is not at home in the world in which you and I live. But Jesus announces the coming of a new world, a new world of righteousness and justice. And the saints are those who long for that, kingdom. The ones who never lose heart and the ones who are never satisfied with anything else. That's what Jesus is teaching us. Let me give you another definition. Another definition that involves kind of a concrete example of holiness. In the early part of the 20th century, there was a New Testament professor at Harvard Divinity School named Henry Joel Cadbury. And Cadbury was one of the great New Testament scholars of that century and was at work on what eventually became the Revised Standard Version of the Bible when World War I broke out. Now, as a pacifist, Cadbury says, I cannot fight, but I can contribute to the war effort by going, volunteering with the Quakers to take care of the people who are injured. So that's what he did. He left and went to the front lines in Europe, and he's there bandaging and taking care of wounded soldiers. And it was while he was bandaging and caring for one of those soldiers that one of his students from the previous semester happened upon him. And notice, they're surprised when they saw each other, but particularly the student, because he looked at him, he said, Dr. Cadbury, why aren't you back at Harvard translating the New Testament? Cadbury said, I am translating the New Testament. Wow. Don't you hate those guys that have those great lines? I mean, preached a sermon in one sentence. I am translating the New Testament. You see, he was translating the New Testament not from Greek into English, but from printed page into human life. I think that may be one of the best definitions I know of what a saint is. A saint is one who translates the New Testament into a life of love and service. Let me tell you another example. C.S. Lewis is a man that I would regard as a saint, certainly, as part of the saints, a group of saints. And a few years ago, A.N. Wilson wrote a biography of C.S. Lewis. And the biography really shocked a lot of C.S. Lewis fans by painting a very revealing picture of Lewis, warts and all. I mean, it was very accurate, very straightforward. And some people came away thinking less of Lewis. I'll be honest with you, I came away after reading it feeling, feeling more appreciation for the life of C.S. Lewis, knowing he had struggled and fought against weaknesses and temptations. Sometimes he battled them successfully. Other times he didn't. But I think that a saint's light shines more brightly, not less brightly, more brightly for his or her struggles. And I'll be honest, All Saints Day is unsettling. It is for me. It's unsettling for me because as I look at this list, I think we're going to miss these people. This is part of a great generation that helped found this church and set our course and has provided leadership and encouragement. So it's unsettling to look at all that we've lost during the course of this year. It's also unsettling because I find it difficult to imagine myself among those that the Bible refers to as saints, quite frankly. But I have to keep reminding myself, and I think I have to keep reminding you, that sainthood is not our accomplishment. It is God's gift to us. We follow where Christ and the saints lead, knowing all the while that we're going to stumble and fall. All saints are forgiven sinners. Hear that again. All saints are forgiven sinners, just like us. The saints remind us of what we're capable of if we'll open ourselves to the power of God, who makes all things new, and who raises us from death to life abundant and everlasting. Amen.
Scripture reading for this morning comes from two places, Psalm 34 verses 1 through 10 and verse 22. And then Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. If you don't have your Bible, there should be one there in the pew in front of you. I'm reading out of the New International Version. This is Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Then moving to verse 22. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. And then turning to Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing there around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Let's pray together. Father, it is good for us to have your word spoken so clearly. Through Pastor Raymond's message and through your word. Father, I thank you for the gift of being in this place, hearing your word proclaimed. Father, for we needed comfort for those who have lost loved ones and continue to feel the pain and the loss. They need to hear you. We all need to hear you. To become the people that put the New Testament into practice. Not to just read about it, but to talk about it. And to be about it. proclaiming Christ with our lives. And that causes pain. That causes hurt. Because not everybody understands. We live in a world that goes against all the things that you stand for. So, Father, give us strength. Remind us that one day, when we get to sing around your throne, all the tears will be past. All the pain will be gone. All the struggles, all the frustrations will be no longer. And Father, that gives us strength for this journey. That you are with us. Father, this gives us reason to shout hallelujah and glory to God in the highest. We thank you. With our very lives, we thank you. Around this world, in parts unknown, there are believers in Christ who are worshiping today. Some in places, in beautiful sanctuaries like this. Some in homes. Some in hidden places for fear of persecution. From being arrested, tortured, even killed. Remind us today what a blessing it is to worship you. Let us know, show us, how can we change the world where we are? This is our prayer. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We give thanks for all the many blessings which we receive every day. And we try to be grateful every day and to remember where these blessings come from and to be the best stewards of them that we can be, but we often fall short. So please forgive us when we do fall short and when we aren't as grateful as we should be and when we aren't the best stewards we should be. Help us to do better. But now as we offer back a portion of our monetary blessings, please bless the gift and the giver. Amen.
I invite you to remain standing, take your hymnal. In just a moment, we're going to sing, but I want to offer an invitation to you. If you're here this morning and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you don't know what it means to have security for eternity, I'd love to talk with you about that. I'll be here as we sing and be glad to speak with you, or certainly feel free to call me this week. Be glad to meet with you and talk about it. If you're here this morning, you say, I am a believer, But I'm not sure I want to go into eternity acting and behaving and doing the things that I'm doing right now. I need God's help to kind of get back on track. This certainly is a wonderful time of kind of a checkup to see where you are in your life. And you can have that conversation with God right there in the pew. You're certainly welcome to come. The altar will be open, or I'll be glad to speak with you and pray with you. And if you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this body of believers, it's a great group of people, and I would attest to the fact indeed it is. Again, we're not perfect, but we are forgiven. And that is our claim. And that's what we hold on to, and that's what we try to extend to everyone. Forgiveness and encouragement. So there are many ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to talk with you about that if that's your desire. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we sing together now. After the benediction, I invite you to offer encouragement to one another as the body of Christ. Be conscious of the fact that we're here for one another. And also, if you see people around you that you don't know, be sure and extend a warm welcome. Introduce yourself. Take the chance that they've been members here for 100 years. And go ahead and tell them you're glad to see them this morning. So do that after the benediction response. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who helps us to put all of our troubles, all of our trials in perspective, who gives us the power through the cross to overcome them. And so as we leave from this place, help us to go as your people on mission, who are devoted to you and committed to living our lives in a way that we give glory to you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.